studying God's Word that we might abound in grace. This is Abounding Grace. Join us. Again, welcome to the broadcast. Abounding Grace is the name of the program. Our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, takes us to God's Word each and every day here on Abounding Grace with a few moments of encouragement and exhortation from God's Word. Make it a point to join us today as we study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved, encouraged in Christ, growing in our walk with Him. Here now, from United Reformed Church of Linden, our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, with this edition of Abounding Grace.
Welcome today to Abounding Grace. I am Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church. We're thankful that you've joined us. And we have the opportunity this week to take up the wonderful subject of God's providence in looking at the death of Lazarus. Death, of course, is not anything foreign to any one of us. It's happening all around us. And in light of death, in light of pain, in light of all the things that seem to be going wrong in the world today, we have to ask the question, is God in control of everything? Because the story around us seems to often say something different, doesn't it? But I know that if I were to survey anybody listening today and asking what is going on in your life somewhere along the line, maybe even today, you're facing physical suffering. Maybe you're facing pain. Maybe you're facing the loss of a loved one, a father, a mother, a son, a daughter. Maybe you or a friend that you know or a loved one has just recently been diagnosed with cancer. Maybe some physical disease that is terminal. Maybe in your home there's been a loss of job and it has led to financial struggle and ruin. Maybe you're a parent and your children are rebelling and you're feeling the great pains of such rebellion. All of these things are very common. All of these things are very real living in a sinful world. And the problems that pain and the problems that all of these things cause, especially death, raises so many questions. I remember one day we were out evangelizing and we went out door to door when I was in college. And we're asking people why, if they believed in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, we wanted to share the gospel with them. And I remember one woman clearly who raised her fist and said, "I can't believe in a God who would take my son." And she told us to leave. And I remember thinking to myself, all of that anger and all of that unhappiness with this major question, is God really in control of everything? Could he have kept her son around? What were all the emotions and all the pains that she was feeling at that moment? What drove her to such anger against God? Well, I raise all of these points today to begin by asking and saying to you, one of the most special doctrines to the Christian is the doctrine of God's providence. In the book of Jeremiah, we come to a beautiful verse that really does define providence for us. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 23, we read, "Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places? So I cannot see him, says the Lord. Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord?" In that statement is wrapped up everything that we confess about the doctrine of divine providence. God is telling us that by his ever-present power, he continues to uphold everything in this world. And with that comes the great truth that nothing in this life happens by chance. If you're a Christian, and think about all the blessings that you have as a Christian today, can you imagine living this life thinking the opposite and thinking in the course of this life and this world's continual progression, in my life, in your life, your loved ones' lives, the entire world is sort of left on its own, and that blind fate or chance will dictate whether you and I are here tomorrow? Can you imagine living like that? I've been in hospitals as a pastor, and I've seen in one bed people who know they have a dying loved one and they have absolutely no hope in life and in death. And in the very next bed over, I hear a family raising up a prayer to the God of heaven and earth, knowing that in life and in death, God is in control and that that loved one is in his hands. Two totally different perspectives about life, isn't it? Most of this world, however, functionally lives without any hope and is sort of left to believe that the lot sort of falls in the lap and is not directed by anything. Simply the luck of the draw, if you will. That has got to be the scariest and sad life possible. Yet for many, it's not. But something unique to Christianity is the special doctrine of providence. It means that absolutely nothing in life happens by mere chance or by luck. And if that is the case, that means that weather or storms or hurricanes, as well as sunny and calm days, your prosperity and to what degree, your very health, whether it be good or bad, everything in life is controlled and ordered by God and comes to you from His fatherly hand. Now, what are the implications of this? Well, if that is true, if you are diagnosed with cancer tomorrow and told you have a week to live, you can be patient, if you are a Christian, to know that that too comes from His fatherly hand. And the same is true with the blessings He sends to us. That means that every day of your life, you can have full confidence and hope that nothing can separate you from your Father's love. All creatures are so in His hand that they cannot move or be moved without His will. That is the teaching of God's providence. We love it. We confess it. But let me say, if you're listening out there today, practically, it's one of the hardest things to live by. We are creatures tied to this world. We are creatures who think and expect only good from God, and never can God then, therefore, send us adversity and trial. I'll have to say, we are a people who functionally live in America, though we might not want to admit it. Functionally, we live with a sort of prosperity gospel mentality. And it's all over the place on TV. And you see, it's when we are really put to the test, facing trial, facing adversity. Remember, the Apostle Paul said, through much tribulation, we must enter the kingdom of God. Through this tribulation, through this trial, as we are tested as sons of God, it is then that our belief is really exposed. It's very true. In times of adversity, you know a person's true character by the way they handle their problems. If they fly off the handle, it tells a different story, doesn't it? Do we believe that everything is in God's hands and that He is control of everything, and that as Christians, He is working it all out for our good? Or do we hold to this teaching only when things are going well for us? Well, today we're challenged to think about, are we just paying lip service to the utter sovereignty of God over this world and over His creation and over our hearts and over our lives in His providence? Or do we actually live in light of that? Or is our life telling a different story? Well, I want to start in the few minutes I have with you and for the rest of this week with the account of Lazarus. And I guess this is a passage that is often used at funerals, and it's a very good one for that. But in every way, it really does speak to the awesome providence of God. We're going to consider a few things from this passage, but one of the most powerful things about John chapter 11, if you have your Bibles open, I would encourage you to turn there and look at this, is the reason that Christ gives for Lazarus's sickness. In the few verses we read, Mary and Martha are greatly troubled by their brother Lazarus's sickness. Immediately they sent to Jesus. They knew of His saving power. They knew of His miracles and the power that He had and possessed to heal the sick. And they had known Jesus only on this close communion level. And He was the one of whom Jesus loved. They knew that. It says that about Lazarus. Jesus loved Lazarus. And He loved these women. You'll notice that emphasis in the text. Here is the one you love, Jesus. They hold out Lazarus's life before Jesus. This was a distress call. If this, O Lord Jesus, is the one that you love, and if you have the power to heal him, come, heal our brother who is sick. But it's Jesus's answer that we want to consider for a moment. Listen to verse 4 of John 11. When Jesus heard that, He said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now that is an amazing statement. In the life of the believer, we do not believe that anything comes by chance. not even one hair falling from our heads. Even that is God's will. But even our sicknesses. And here is Lazarus, who had become deathly ill. And Jesus is telling us that this sickness came directly from the hand of God. Why? So that through it, through his death, Jesus would receive the glory. That his name through it would be magnified. That the eternal Son of God through this sickness would be honored and glorified all the more. And might I say that, oh, Christians, might we all learn to live this way with this perspective on life? That your entire existence is marked and set apart to glorify God? That's the reason you were created, so that everything that you do in life, whether you eat or drink, even your death, should be done to the glory of God? But we're given further insight here, aren't we? If it were left up to us, we wouldn't set ourselves to the glory of God. And so in his divine providence, God orders everything to this end, that your life as a believer would begin to fulfill what you were created to do in the first place. Enjoy God and glorify him forever. But you know, as we close today, I'm always impressed with the fact that immediately after this, the very next thing that comes to reality is Jesus' love. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And immediately we hear that the first thing that comes to mind is that whatever Lazarus is going to face in his death, whatever grief and pain Mary and Martha are going to face through this, whatever they will have to endure so that the glory of God would be advanced and accomplished, one thing shines through it all. Jesus loves them. And he does for all of those who believe in him. But what's the summarizing statement here? In verse 6 of John 11, so when he heard this, that he was sick, Jesus stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. He stayed. Do we see what the text is communicating to us? He waited for Lazarus to die. He left Lazarus alone to die in the land of Judea, where he remained in the region, while he remained in the region beyond the Jordan. And what I can't help but seeing here is that Jesus is teaching us something absolutely fundamental about life and about death. Even though Jesus is not present, and even though Lazarus became sick unto death, as final and as damaging as it may have seemed, completely non-understandable, not even death, my friends, would inhibit it in any way to fulfilling the glory of God. Think about that today, that all of your life is set apart to glorify God, and he so orders everything in your life to that end, even our trials and even our pains. May he then be glorified through whatever we are going through as Christians today. You know what that means? You cannot have any comfort in life and in death if you are not a Christian and do not believe in Jesus. Oh, you must believe in Jesus in this day of salvation. And then and only then can you know that he is your only comfort in life and in death. Like to heartily invite you to join us for worship. We are a Bible-believing church that desires heartily to preach the pure gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ here at the Linden United Reformed Church. Our Sunday worship services are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. Visit us on the web, www.lindenurc.com, or you may call 360-318-0429. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you. Lift up your